Hey, it's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, and Brady Quinn. And can you believe it? The NFL is here. It is game day in the NFL. And coming up, we have got our full NFL season preview. We're going to pick every division winner. We're going to pick wild cards from the AFC and NFC and our Super Bowl picks. Plus, a look ahead to game one between the Cowboys and the Bucks. And we've also got the debut of the prop bet monster. All of that coming up next here. It's Outkick the Coverage. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and you right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Can you believe it? It has been months, but it is finally here, and we are jacked to the gills about it. We will get into all of that coming up here just a couple of moments from now. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio.
Gills.
Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, and Brady
Quinn.
Gills.
You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app.
Gills Knox.
Wherever you are, making us a part of your Thursday morning. We are going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock
That's
Pacific,
right.
And
yeah.
We appreciate you doing so. Because, guys, it's back. The NFL is back. It is back.
It's game day, baby.
Damn straight it is. And we have got Cowboys Bucks kicking off the season later tonight. Just think about all those dreadful sporting events we had to sit through for the past few months. But we are finally here. While everybody fake talks how excited they are about U.S. men's soccer, we move all that garbage to the side and we focus on the NFL because it is back.
Really any other sport, right?
Damn right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always faking unless it's football.
Yeah, it's a football country. We're a football country.
Yeah, I mean, it's only excitement when it's football season.
Now, I'm tired of hearing about these other sports, right?
We're faking.
You don't matter. Other sports, you don't.
No.
It's football. It's America.
Football's
That's what
canceled.
We do, man.
Cancel culture. Yeah. We cancel everything
else out. You're not allowed behind the velvet ropes.
Yeah.
Stand in line with the rest of the common folk.
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed in this
club.
Get
out the club.
Yeah.
How's that for dismissing a bunch of other people that make a ton of money? Now, here's the here's what I would point out. I don't know what it's like, and you guys are going to tell game day stories as a player. I'll just say this. As somebody who never played in the league, has loved football his entire life, the first game of the season, do you know how unproductive tomorrow morning is going to be for so many people that are watching that game tonight? I mean, they will either call out sick or get nothing done. This is Christmas, man, and this really is the first gift you get to open. Open, and then Sunday, when all the other gifts are under the tree, you just get to open all those.
I've got
the same
a theory
time.
On this, Jonas.
I'm telling you, man.
Hey, you guys have traveled, right? I mean, LeVar, you've traveled.
Sure.
You've been to Europe.
Yep.
You know how, like, they have a completely different lifestyle over there where, like, they'll just take, like, a couple months off. Like, they will take their holiday, as they call it, or vacation, and they will go somewhere for, like, a month at a time, sometimes 2 months at a time. I mean, I'll put it this way, but in some places, they're living. Like, they are enjoying life. Meanwhile, over here, we are grinding.
Yeah, we are
We
grinding.
Grind, baby. It's America. That's what we do here. We grind.
Yeah.
But to Jonas's point, if you add up all those days following the first game of the NFL season, Mondays after long Sundays in the NFL or after a long weekend of football, if you like college and NFL, if you start adding up some of those quote-unquote sick days, off days, it's going to add up to about a month or so. You know, we do it the same thing. We just happen to take them spread out, and it happens to be falling around American football.
Do you guys find yourself, now that you're out of the league and you can look at it from a different vantage point, do you guys find yourself appreciating more of the fan aspect of things, or when you get to today, you immediately go back into game day mode and you just start thinking like a player, like first game day experience, getting ready for the season, first ever debut. Like, how do you handle that psychologically?
You know, for me, it I'm a fan first, so I've always approached everything from a fan first perspective. So the fans have always mattered to me. How I approach the game has always mattered to me because I know the players who came before me. I knew the players that were playing at the same time as me. So it was always like a badge of honor, like what you said, I never played in the pros before. It's like I made it to the pros, but I always approach things like the guy that didn't make it to the pros. You know, it's always like when I walked around, you see a kid. You know, quick story. When I was younger, my heroes were high school players, high school football, high school basketball. They were the most, like, they stood out to me. They were the most intriguing to me. And my favorite player, I remember one time my dad took me to a playoff game to see them in a basketball playoff game. We get to the arena, and I see them standing because they, you know, you have tournament style playoff games, you know, once you get to the playoffs, and they're sitting in the bleachers waiting for the game before them to get to the third quarter so they could go change for their game. I run off on my dad because I see my guy. It's like, he doesn't know me, and he doesn't know that he's my guy, but that's my guy. So I go running up to him, and he blows me off.
Wow.
Dude blew me off.
Who blew you off?
I won't say his name. Okay. But because we're actually friends. We're actually friends now.
Yeah. Okay. What's his Twitter handle? I'll figure it out.
No. So he blows me off, and my dad's like, you know, whoa. You know, he finally catches up, and he sees the exchange taking place. And dude was like, basically, like, can you just leave me alone and let me, you know, watch the game and, like, get my mind right for the game type stuff. And my dad was like, man, you couldn't, you know, take a moment or sign an autograph for him. And I stopped my dad. I was like, you know, don't worry about that. I was like, one thing I'll never do, Dad, is be like him if I ever make it. And I pointed at him and when I said it. And go figure, like, all those years later, I think I was in, like, heck, I don't know. I had to been in either at the end of grade school, probably at, the, like, my fifth grade year. It's either my fifth grade year or my sixth grade year of school. But I remember telling my dad, look my dad in my eyes. I was like, Dad, I'll never be like that. So for me, when I watch football and I approach football, it's like I can't do it as a civilian because my mind is always breaking down the X's and O's of it. So it's very difficult to watch as a normal civilian. But I never have stopped watching it as a fan either. So it's like I enjoy watching guys. I enjoy knowing who they are. I enjoy, you know, the stories behind them, the side stories and all that stuff. So it's always been exciting for me in the same way, even if I was in a state of competing versus just trying to watch it as a civilian that's retired now.
Yeah. Listen, well, you know, yeah, not everybody's the pride of Dublin, Ohio.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's I was going to say, let me give you the alternative point of view. Are we going into like our first game experience?
Why not?
Let me get to it now.
The reason is,
like, I can relate in some fashion to kind of LeVar in two senses, like as a player, and then as just kind of like a fan and kind of a young kid who's like dream came true. Like I remember before week one, 2007, we're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I remember being in the locker room before the game and like this overwhelming emotions came over me. Like, I can't describe it. I don't know why. It was just that moment when I kind of realized, like, holy crap, man, you're playing in the NFL. Like, you did it. And I started thinking about my parents. I started thinking about all the people, my Uncle Dave, my high school coach, Greg Fry, who worked with me when I was young. Like, I started thinking about all the people in my life that helped me get to that point. And I was so overwhelmed with, like, thankfulness. And I think I told you guys, like, from the youngest time, I grew up a Browns fan, man. Like, some of the memories, the only memories I have of going to games with my grandpa was going to see the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And
super cool.
It, like, all hit me in that moment when I put the helmet on. We started to walk out the tunnel. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to fight back tears because it's so seldom in my life that I took a moment to realize, like, what was happening around me.
Mm.
I was always the type of person that was more focused in on like what was going on, the situation in the game, my teammates, the scheme, whatever the case was. I mean, from the youngest age, my dad used to always ask me, are you having fun? And I used to be always so into it and want to win so bad and so competitive that like I never stopped to think about how cool it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember before the Pittsburgh Steelers game, like going out of the tunnel and in the locker room beforehand, like just those emotions and how it felt. Because there was so much hard work and sacrifice by everyone involved, including myself, to get to that point. But then the game started.
That's a different story.
And then I was like, oh, snap, we're not very good. Like,
oh, no.
Like, the Steelers are legit, man. Like, we've been watching film. I've been hearing stories. I've watched them for years. And I'm like, man, we got some work to do. We bench Charlie Fry at half. Derek Anderson goes in the second half. I think he threw a pick or two. And then now the reality hit me as I'm walking out of the stadium after the game, like, man, we're not very good. We got to turn this thing around. And then they traded Charlie Fry that next week. Now people are like, hey, you might be starting. I was like, hell yeah, like, give me the reins. Let's do this thing. Point, they gave it to Derek Anderson. And Cincinnati's defense was one of which then, or at least that year, you could throw on them a little bit. So that was the funny thing was – we always kind of felt like whoever got the start week two was going to be the starter the rest of the way. I almost kind of apply it to like Florida State after the McKenzie Milton Jordan Travis situation this past Sunday, because whoever gets to start this week versus was Jacksonville State, I think they play, they're going to be the starter for a while because right. they should be they able to show out a little bit. Right. But it was kind of like that.
So you were more emotional about walking out to the field for game one than you were when you got drafted.
Yeah, and then part of that might have to do with, like, how my draft day went. Not even, like, sliding to what I thought to 22. It was more of, like, literally, dude, like, we were sitting in Roger Goodell's green room with my family, having just crushed a bunch of Chipotle burritos, trying to clean up after ourselves. And they're, like, jerking me onto the stage after I'd spent some time talking to the Ravens. And then it was the Browns that traded up with, like, 2 minutes left. So it was, like, kind of chaotic, to be honest. Where, like, people were trying to, like, get me up out of there and our Chipotle probably. They're like, get your family out of here.
That's why you were chewing gum on the stage, right?
Yeah. I was like, man, I can't be walking on stage with stank breath.
Oh, wow.
But it's Chipotle hot sauce.
I remember you got heat for that, too. So I forget who it was
Joe
an analyst.
Theismann.
Yeah, Joe Theismann.
Excuse me, Joe Theismann. Yeah, Lamar knows. Yeah. He'll pop off about anything.
He was upset. He didn't think it looked professional when Brady was chewing gum. He just had Chipotle, man. It's like eating a sewer rat. Wrapped in a blanket. Like, what do you want from him? I'm just saying. Like, he's got some gum in.
He's got all those prostate commercials he does.
He does.
He's good. Yeah, yeah. He's running the bathroom a lot. Who cares? I did because for whatever reason, I think how that experience went. And at that point, like, you're getting drafted. Like, it's I don't know. You go through it the first time. I don't know how LeVar felt about when he got drafted, but I was like, it didn't hit me then. Like, that's not football. Football is when you, like, strap on the pads, you strap everything on, you get ready to go. Mm-hmm. And it was at that moment, for whatever reason, and maybe because, you know, I prayed before games and all that, where it was, like, kind of a just, you know, one of those conversations
awesome.
Where you're like, this actually happened, man. Like, you dreamt about this all your life, and this is actually happening.
That's awesome. That's cool.
I had
story.
One of those moments. I did. I cried before every game. I put a towel over my head. Like it was kind of the coolest part at a point in time in my career, it wouldn't be my first time going out, but just at one point in time in my career where I was the leader, the captain of the team, had you know, a resume with the respect, the defensive front and the linebackers, we had a routine. Everybody had the routine. And as the routine wound up and we got ready to go out, I would put a towel over my head. Like, and they knew when I put my towel over my head, I knew that it was 5 minutes before it was time for us to go out. For a small amount of time, I think about Pee Wee League football and the uniform that I wore and how I used to freak out because I couldn't find my socks that were team issued socks that had the name of our team on it. And I thought about like my runs, like different highlights from when I played Pee Wee League would flash through my head. My loved ones, like people that I went to school with, that some were in jail, some had passed away, you know, my family. Like I ran everything through my head in that moment for about a minute or so. It seemed like an eternity. And I just cry. Like the emotions, the raw emotions of like this all happened because of all of this. I think about my Pee Wee League coaches, my high school coaches, like my teammates from every, like I would think about my uncles. I would hear random moments where I'd have an uncle at a game and he'd be standing on the fence. He'd be like, "Go Shotty." And that was my nickname growing up, was Shot. My middle name's Rashad. And my family called me Shotty. So I just have random moments where he's like, "Go Shotty." And I hear stuff that would take me back to a place and a time, and I would just cry. Then once I wipe my face off, I come up out of that towel and I grab my helmet, and everybody be standing right there, ready for me to give them the words before we walk out and go onto the field for warmups.
That's awesome.
That's one of my most vivid memories, is how cool that was, that they would be waiting. Like, that was like our routine. Like, I get my moment in. Once I grabbed Excalibur, which was my helmet, you know,
called it Excalibur.
I was dropping that hammer.
Why not Luxor?
Oh, I love it.
Well, it's
man,
like
I
when you go into the mind of a maniac, like, you know, we talk about that's how amazing. You can't watch the game as a real civilian.
Excalibur, no kidding.
I grabbed Excalibur, bro, and it was the only one dude could grab Excalibur from the Lady of the Lake. You know what I mean?
So, in the end,
I put Excalibur on, and it was time to go, man. They knew it was time to go. We knew it was time to go. We go, you know. But that's football, though. You want to talk about the energy and the excitement of when you're really in it? Like, when you're in it, like, as a civilian, it's funny because I get those moments and I get those feelings when I'm watching my kids play. But that feeling that you get where your body knows that it's about to do some crazy-ish, And the way you start feeling, because it's funny, people used to always say, "You look normal during the week." They're like, "You look way different on game day." And it's honest to God's truth. I would look like a normal dude during the week. But when we were about to walk out and go onto the field, warm up and do what we were doing, I had veins popping out, like my muscles looked bigger.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, your body, like my body knew, like, this dude is about to send us through hell. Like, let's go.
That's like a racehorse, baby.
Right?
You know? That's what they say about racehorses. They say those the best ones know. The lights come on. They feel the crowd. And those things just know when it's time, man.
Yeah, man.
Just make sure it's not a racehorse at Santa Anita. It won't make it home.
Well, that's right.
Oh,
I'm just saying. Just letting you know.
Lay down. Right, I'm just
cold-blooded.
Hey, I'm just letting you know. That's a dicey proposition there.
Cold-blooded.
Why are they bringing a 10 out onto the track? All right.
Shots out to the horses.
It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here. It is our NFL season preview show. That's right. The NFL is back later on tonight. Cowboys and Bucks, game one of the 2021 season is on Fox. So we are going to get into our division picks here coming up momentarily here on FSR. I want to let you know we are brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. So before
we get one of your Discover cards, Jonas.
Yeah, you know, listen, that's
Brady.
You know,
let me get your.
Yeah, come on, Brady.
Let me get your Big Noon Show.
Discover card.
Oh, yeah, let me get your Discover card.
Yeah, yeah. Let me go grab that. Right?
Yeah, I mean, please.
Listen,
please.
There's so much room on that
I'm
thing.
Give you my Venmo.
There's so much room on it. It'll buy you a hot tub, and
you get a portable hot tub.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Use it wherever you go.
All right, so we are going to get to our division picks here coming up momentarily.
Hey, by the way, I'm excited about this.
Yeah,
dude.
I'm ready to go.
I tried to send you guys a link of that playoff predictor thing. It's a really cool site. Yeah, I'm shocked. I'm just going to tell you this much. I'm shocked with how my divisions turned out. Because you know how you picture, like, oh, that team, there's no way I feel like they're going to be that bad or that good. But then when you go through each week, their schedule, the buys, all that stuff, like, it's kind of surprising. It's going to be interesting to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk myself out of some of my picks. I decided, all right, where's my gut tell me? Because I'll make the mistake of start going through schedules and things like that. And every time I change my pick last minute, I end up getting screwed. So I'm not doing it this year.
You know what I did? And LeVar, I don't know if you felt this way too, just from watching the games, but I forgot what home field advantage really provided until I went out in person to get. I was like, oh, yeah. I forgot what this is like. like it's a little harder to communicate the offensive line, especially if you're in like the student section.
Absolutely.
Or in this case, if you're on the road, that crowd noise, man. And so when I was doing my picks, I really did set a little more of a weighted preference to, like, all right, who's playing at home? If they're equal teams, I'm giving that team the home field advantage more often than not. Unless I thought they were even, then it was like, okay, are they coming off a bye? No. Okay, is it Thursday night? You know, a short week later in the season, that always plays a big factor too, I think, in helping the home team not have to travel. So, like, all those things started to factor in for me.
All right, so we are going to get into our division picks here. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. All right, so let's get this started. Let's get into it here. It is our NFL season preview. We're going to pick division winners this hour. Next hour, we're going to make our wild card picks and our three Super Bowl picks. All right, so division winners here as we go through. Who wants to take the lead on this? All right, who wants to step right up?
I can lead off, man.
Right,
I can lead off if you want.
Right,
I can lead off.
The Ricky Henderson of this show. Let's go.
I'm going to start off in the AFC. Okay, I'm going to start off with the AFC North, which really came down to be the most competitive division in the AFC. And the division winner is the Baltimore Ravens. I got them at 11-6. The Baltimore Ravens win a close, tough, tightly contested race with the Steelers, the Browns, who both went 10-7. Going to the AFC South, I've got the Titans running away with this one, 11-6. Really, no one else was in striking distance. The AFC East, I got the Bills, probably no surprise, 12-5. But then I've got the Patriots, and I don't feel good about this one. I don't. They're 11-6. They're nipping on their heels. I'll get into that when we talk about the wild card spots. And then I've got the AFC West, which I've got as the best division in the AFC. It was, you know, you could make the case it was the most competitive, but not really because of the Raiders. But I've got the Chiefs winning that one at 13-4. The Chiefs win the AFC West. You want to go to NFC now?
No. I mean, let's see. You want to do just AFC, and then we'll get into NFC later on? So that
sure,
way we'll kind of.
Sure.
All right. So LeVar, you want to go? You want me to take this one?
You go first.
All right. So here we go. I will start in the AFC North as well, too. I, too, like the Baltimore Ravens, a little bit concerned about the cluster injuries at running back over the past week or so. That has me a little bit concerned about Baltimore. But I do like the Ravens to win that division. I think Pittsburgh and Cleveland is the interesting battle to me because I have no idea how that's going to turn out. I don't know if Roethlisberger can lead a team anymore that maybe doesn't have the talent that Cleveland does. But, you know, clearly I think Cincinnati is dead last in that division. So I got the Ravens winning the AFC North. As we go to the AFC South, I want to take the Colts. I loved the Colts a year ago, but I got doubts about Carson Wentz, and I got doubts about some of the injuries, and we've talked about how snake bit that team is. I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans. I think Mike Vrabel's going to figure out that defense. They were awful. A diaper fire from a year ago, but I like the offense. Julio Jones is there. That's the least of my concerns. Interested to see what they do without their offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, who's in Atlanta now as the head coach, but I do like the Tennessee Titans to win the AFC South. As we go to the AFC East, I like the New England Patriots to win the AFC East. It seems way too obvious.
Look at you making a statement. Look at you making a statement.
Buffalo's way too obvious for me, and it feels like the way that they've handled this Mac Jones stuff, and according to a scout who was there, from Brady Quinn's lips to my ears, Mac Jones was dealing in that joint practice against the Giants. I'm in on Mac Jones. I love what they did in the offseason. I also don't think they were that bad a year ago. I think that narrative was sort of thrown out there because all the success Tom Brady had. I like the New England Patriots to win the AFC East. I think Buffalo finishes second, and I think the Dolphins, who I'm not as high on as everybody else, is third, and the Jets are battling it out with them for third, but ultimately finish fourth. And then if we go to the AFC West, why complicate things? It's going to be the Chiefs. The real question is going to be who finishes second, the Chargers or the Broncos, because we all know what the answer is to who's finishing fourth, and that's the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, wow.
Fun team. Great team to watch. I'm not trying to piss off Danny and Roberto. I there's problems there. A lot of noise coming out of that division, but that is my AFC division winners there.
All nice.
Right. All right, I'm going to start in the West because that's the easiest one.
Okay.
So we'll go with the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right,
and
there you go.
The rest of them can fight it out for a second. Who cares? It's the Chiefs, AFC West. No analysis needed. Analysis by paralysis.
Can you imagine
right?
if we had a website and the analysis from LeVar was, who cares? Chiefs are winning.
Who cares? Chiefs are winning. Now, the AFC North is one of the most peculiar because, again, it did have three teams over 10 wins, which means that in all intents and purposes, you could say this is the most competitive division in all of the NFL, even though I believe that the NFC West would contend for that. But I digress. AFC North, you look at this Pittsburgh Steelers team, there are a lot of question marks that are surrounding this group, but they always seem to figure it out. I don't know why it is, but they're the big brother of the division. Then you look at the Ravens. There are question marks now, especially with J.K. Dobbins going down. You have two backs down in that backfield. Will they be able to overcome that? Will Lamar Jackson's workload be a little bit heavier than what it generally would be? And can he take maybe a step forward in terms of passing? Because to me, I don't think he's far off from being a next-level guy passing the ball as much as the critics may say. So I do think that it is going to be a three-team race, obviously. And the Browns, I'm making a bold one here. I think that the Browns will dominate the NFC North this year. I don't think that they will just win the division. I think they're going to have a dominant season.
Wow.
I think that the elements are there for them to have take a step forward. And if they take a step forward, that's really, you know, you think about it, that's 12 to 13 wins.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the Browns. Yeah, that is, but you know, it's if they take a step forward, that's only two or three wins more than what they ended up with last year. So I think they'll be a better team this year because I think that's a much more confident and comfortable in his own skin Baker Mayfield, and I think that's going to make the difference here. And I think OBJ has a lot to prove. Like, let's be honest here, this is probably his last opportunity to hold on to the light of what his popularity was when he made that catch in New York. He still hasn't established himself in Cleveland. That could be a great motivator for him. So I'm looking for the Browns to be able to come out of that part of the AFC. You go into the East. I know you got the Patriots. I know you've picked the Bills. It is going to be between those two teams. But I just don't see in cold weather conditions in the AFC East a team rolling through, which I believe will be a competitive Dolphins team and a dominant Bills team. I just don't see the Patriots having it in a rookie quarterback to be able to navigate an entire season and win the division. So by default, process of elimination, do I think that they can schematically be good enough, coached-wise good enough to be able to win the division? I do. But I do think that the Bills are too good for a rookie quarterback to come in and be the catalyst of the New England Patriots climbing back above the Dolphins and above the Bills to get the division. So I'm going to go with the Bills in the AFC East. In the AFC South, I feel like defenses travel. I feel like that offensive lines travel. And when you look at those boxes, who checks that off definitively? It's the Colts. Now, they're dealing with injuries and whatever that may be with Carson Wentz at the quarterback's position. But I think this is a much more improved, much more sophisticated team in terms of how they'll approach what they're doing this year. They do have a couple question marks. I mean, there are some question marks at the receiver's position. But I just think that the Colts are going to be able to run the ball, and they're going to be able to play defense, and they're going to be able to protect the quarterback that's back there. I think that that's a great recipe for them to be able to win the AFC South. I do think the Titans, I think they take a step back from an 11-win team. I honestly do. I don't think that they're an 11-win team this year for the simple fact that if they can slow down Derrick Henry, I'm just not convinced yet that the Tennessee Titans are anything else outside of their running attack. If you saw Derrick Henry get stopped, you saw the Tennessee Titans offense and their team get stopped. I just don't know that he can continue on the trajectory that he's been on, even though he's had such a brilliant start so far. I don't expect them to win 11 games, and I don't expect them to win the division that in the AFC South. So I'm going with the Colts.
Nice. Yeah, so now picks. I feel worse about my AFC South pick. That's a problem. Damn it. All right.
Why do you feel bad about your AFC
okay,
South?
Okay, just because like this because I always
I pick the Titans
up,
too.
Yeah, okay, I know, but I always end up. I just don't want to. I picked the Colts to go to a Super Bowl last year. If I'm a year off from them making a Super Bowl
run, I'm going to kick myself
in the balls.
Do you really feel like you are, though? Like, I think there's a lot of questions about this team.
I don't think
they're a Super Bowl team.
I don't even have them being a playoff team. I'll just tell you right now.
They'll make the playoffs. Their defense is too good, man.
Yeah, who knows? Well,
we say that, but it's tough when they're on the field all the time.
Yeah.
New left tackle. You got a new left tackle. Quinn Nelson, we expect him to play week one, but if he doesn't, that's a tough spot. Wentz in a new offense, at least with the different playmakers around him. But who have they really been able to rely on in the passing game? Like that, it looked a lot different last year. I'm just saying, I think this team could be
one
that –
They did it with an old man, though.
Yeah, but that old man could still sling it a little bit. I don't know if it was all him.
Yeah. I think if you can run the ball, and Taylor is a guy that can run the ball, and he runs it well – And they can protect well enough, which I, even with a new tackle, I still think that this offensive line ranks in like the top five of the league by PFF. But again, I think if you can play defense and you can protect and run the ball, you got a chance to win most games. And the Colts check those boxes off.
Do you like PFF? I know some of those guys.
I'm not putting my hat on it. I'm not putting my hat on it, Brady.
If I introduce you to some of those guys, you might say, oh, okay, never mind.
I'm not. Hey, Brady.
hey, listen. Shots fired.
Hey, listen, I'm all about branding, son. They've been able to brand PFF, you know what? It is what it is.
Shots fired.
My boy Mike Renner does a great job. Mike, I know I've talked about some different players, film and whatnot. And everyone, in draft analysis, you're always going to have misses. You're always going to, you know, guys get drafted to spots that doesn't really work for them. So there's definitely some good guys, but there's also some guys you go, oh, okay. I see what's happening
here.
Oh,
man. Yeah. It is Outkick the Coverage here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Our season preview continues. It's our NFC division picks next year on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Outkick the Coverage here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. It is our NFL season preview show. Last segment, we made our AFC division picks, and now we move into the NFC, our division winners, and we start again with the man who's our leadoff hitter here in our season preview show. It is Brady Quinn.
And I'm going to start off once again in the NFC North. And to me, it's the Green Bay Packers. You know, Rodgers is back. This roster's improved somewhat, but the way he played last year as the defending MVP, that's enough for me. Looking at their schedule, I've got them going 12-5, 5-1 in the division. I don't want to say running away with it. It was one team that competed in it, but I've got the Packers. In the NFC South, the defending Super Bowl champs, the Tampa Bay Bucks. Now, the record I don't feel good about, but I've got them sweeping the division, which is a pretty dramatic turnaround if you think about last year. The Saints swept them. That's not the case this year. 6-0 in the division. And how about this? 15-2. I mean, look, they signed everyone back. First time we've seen a team do that, really, in this millennium. And we'll see if they're going to be able to have any success with it. But the reality is they're one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFC. NFC East, I've got the Dallas Cowboys at 10-7, winning the division. Dak stays healthy. This team's improved defensively, and it will be enough for them to be able to win. And what I've got is still a pretty bad division. And then the NFC West, a tough, tight, contested race between the 49ers, the Rams, and Seahawks and Cardinals. I've got the 49ers at 13-4, 4-2 in the division. They are the ones that ultimately end up winning the NFC West. However, again, a hot, tough, contested division. probably the best, as LeVar noted in the last segment, in all of football. But I've got the 49ers winning that one.
Yeah, I've got these same exact division winners as you. I've got the Green Bay Packers. If you thought Rodgers was motivated a year ago after they took Jordan Love, what do you think he wants to do thinking this could possibly be his last year in Green Bay? I got Green Bay winning that division. I actually don't even think it's close. Tampa Bay winning the NFC South. I think that division takes a step back as a whole with Drew Brees being gone. I think Sam Darnold's a big question mark with Carolina. I've also got the Dallas Cowboys winning the East. I was going to go Washington. I don't trust their quarterback situation. I think Dallas is loaded offensively. I think it's a bounce back year for them. Dak may not be 100% the entire season, but I think he's the best quarterback in that division by far. And then I've got the 49ers winning the West. I'm higher on Jimmy Garoppolo than a lot of people. I think he's going to have a good year. I think they're going to be healthy this year. It's going to be competitive, but I got the Niners winning the NFC West.
Sheesh. I'll start in the West. The Rams are going to win the West. I think Stafford is probably the missing link to them having more success than what they did last year and not having to depend so much on their defense. Now, while there are question marks on what their running attack will look like, if Michelle pans out, if somebody pans out, somebody seems to surface on teams that like a Shanahan-led team. We've seen it historically in the past with the older Shanahan, and we've actually seen it at times with Kyle Shanahan as well. I think the Rams defensively, only the Niners maybe match up with them in terms of talent and being good, but I think the Rams stand alone in terms, I mean, obviously ranked number one in multiple categories. I'm going with the Rams in the West. You move into the South, I'm going to make a bold prediction here. I don't think that there's going to be a sweep. I think that the Saints will actually sneak up on people. I don't know. I'm not basing that off of any type of real, you know, evidence. Obviously, Michael Thomas is going to be out for an extended amount of time, or at least a time in the beginning of the year. But I'm just looking at the way Jameis played in the preseason, and if there's any indication from his confidence level and how he handled things in the preseason and Sean Payton and the rest of his coaching staff, what they're able to do. I just think sometimes when you're the Icarus of a division, you could get too close to the sun and burn your wings, and your wings melt, and you fall back to the earth.
Ooh.
There's a possibility that Tampa could be that team. I don't know that. It does look like everything checks out, but I'm not convinced that they're going to be as dominant as everyone believes they're going to be. So I think in a surprise, look at the Saints to be the team in a two-team race. I think the Saints will take it again. In the East, yeah, I think the Washington Redskins, Washington football team. Well, I was one, so I could use it. I guess. Don't come for me.
I do love that explanation. Hey,
don't come for me, a cancel
Racist.
Culture. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. And I got Indian in me, too. Go figure. Okay, so here we go.
Racist.
I'm going with the Washington football team to win that division. I think what Ron Rivera and Eric Wright and those guys have done in that organization in terms of a cultural shift has really, really paid dividends. I do believe that the Cowboys will be competitive. They obviously have the undisputed best quarterback in the division, but I'm just not sold on them. It's one of those things. They have proven that you can't trust them, so they're going to have to be a show-me team in this division. I think that the Washington football team found themselves and was able to pull it out this past year. I think they'll be even better this year, so I'm going with Washington. And then in the North, obviously, you don't need much time to say Green Bay is head and shoulders, maybe a body better than every other team in that division. So they'll win it pretty easily. They'll be the one that cruises to a divisional title.
Nice. And there it is. Those are our division picks for the upcoming NFL season. Next hour, we are going to have our wild card picks and then our Super Bowl picks in hour three. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. It's Outkick the Coverage and hour two of the program, and some concern about a quarterback in the AFC next.